Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and
Gracie Barra
joining you here on a Thursday morning. Thanks for joining us at supertalk.fm or wherever it is you get podcasts from. We appreciate all you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. We want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffee House and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffee House here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It would be a little weird, although it's kind of close, but if it would be a little weird if Brupolo was in Quail Valley.
That would be a little weird.
Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away over at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. All the great coffees that are on sale there at the store are available to you at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. Pip Printing and Signs is the place you're going for the best experience with printing. If you're a business owner, you already spend money on printing. Here's an opportunity for you to support the Bulldog Initiative and get a great printing company working for you all in one. Call my friend Cam Baker at 601-499-5216 and tell him you heard about it on Thunder and Lightning. Whatever you business you do with them, 10% of that straight to the Bulldog Initiative. You didn't have to spend an extra dime of your own money. You're already spending that money on printing anyway. You cannot go wrong. Plus, you're going to get the great service and quality products that Pip Printing and Signs provides. When you need printing, call Pip today. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you're looking for, and you are looking for it. I'm just telling you guys, Father's Day, it's coming up. It's time to start thinking about Dad. Think about College Corner. He needs a new polo. Get that ratty Banner M polo out. Get it out. Get him a nice new State Script polo. Get him some really cool gear. It's there at College Corner. Two locations in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flowood by the Half Shell. Or you can shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler, Starkville's flagship restaurant, the best place in town to grab lunch, to grab dinner, to grab Sunday brunch. You're a big fan, Grace,
yes,
Restaurant Tyler.
Yes, love going to Restaurant Tyler, especially with you.
Well, let's not get me in trouble. It's not like we're going by ourselves, right?
No, it's the whole gang.
Okay, all right.
I love when Brian invites us to lunch.
People are going to be listening like, is Haydad taking Grace to lunch?
No, come on.
Okay.
There's John and Robbie and Stefan.
We have the whole gang gets together.
Yes. And we all enjoy a nice lunch together.
Yes.
At Restaurant
Tyler. We need to enjoy a nice dinner as a group.
We should. You know what's funny, actually? John, when I came on my station visit here, to, see if he wanted to hire me, the restaurant he took me to was Restaurant Tyler.
Because the company was paying for that one.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
It was, he wanted
John had been in charge of that. And we're going to Zaxby's.
But he wanted me to
it worked.
It worked. Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah.
2 years later.
Never mind that your boyfriend lived here. It was like, oh, it's Restaurant Tyler. This place is fantastic.
He was just a minor selling point.
Well, a big selling point at Restaurant Tyler for me is their lunch. I do love a blue plate. Love the little fried chicken, fried catfish. Some mac and cheese, some cheese grits. That do sound good.
Sounds great.
We need next time when everybody gets back from Charlottesville.
Yeah, maybe after Omaha or something.
No.
Don't get ahead of ourselves.
Great. Calm down. It's a pessimistic show. we'll all go to Restaurant Tyler. 16 Priority One Bank locations throughout Central Mississippi here to serve you. The website is PriorityOneBank.com. Find the location near you. Open an account today and find out the difference between somebody who works for your money and the difference when you work for your money. It's different. And you want that hometown service that Priority One Bank is going to provide, but you also want to be able to use your money in the ways that the big corporate banks are going to give you. So I'm giving you the best of both worlds here in one stop. 16 locations means if you live in Central Mississippi, there's one near you. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. So yes, Robbie Falk on the road to Virginia, along with apparently the rest of the MSU beat. But Grace is still here. Gracie Barra, WCBI Sports.
I got left behind.
It's okay, though.
But I get to be here, so that's great.
Yeah. And so first time on the podcast, so thank you for coming, first
thank
and foremost.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. I think you and I are the only two left here in Starkville.
That might be true. And those students,
Paul
it feels
here,
very, very empty.
Paul would be here. It's like if they had a press conference today, we would have the run of the place.
Right.
We need to have a press conference.
Scoop
today.
Someone.
Yeah, I mean, if Zach, if you're listening, we'll take some news. You know, yeah.
New. Doesn't have to be big.
Well, I want it to be.
Okay.
Let's get some
we
big
want it
news.
To be a big news.
That way, and I'll tell you what, you and I will do full collaboration.
Yeah.
Broken by Brian Haydad and Gracie Barr.
Double Boom. Byline.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, I mean, we don't even have. We're not writers.
I have a website.
Yeah, you
well,
do.
It's not my personal website. WCBI.
Oh, website. Yeah. Well, yeah, Super yeah. Talk has a I'll, website.
Yeah, I know. But I can.
I have writers that.
I can add you as the byline on WCBI.
Okay. Okay. I yeah. can live with that. All right. Yeah. And I'll definitely get. Yeah. We'll
and
get
then
the
Clarion Ledger will obviously contribute, or not
you
contribute.
Mean co-op.
No, they will. They will
They'll
attribute
screw it up.
To us.
Oh, okay.
It'll be like. Broken nah. by Brian and
yeah,
Grace.
The Clarion Ledger will be like, Ole Miss beat writer Brian Haydad.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what they'll do.
WTVA's Gracie Barra.
No, we don't want that. All right, let's talk baseball. Because those guys are headed to Charlottesville for the regional.
Yes.
Mississippi State, I'm not doing a full in-depth preview today.
We don't need to.
Yeah, like, you know, obviously Virginia's the favorite. State's probably the second favorite. And you go from there.
Right.
St. John's, you and I were talking before. Other than basketball, I don't know anything about St. John's.
No, nothing.
Could not tell you anything about them.
Honestly, I didn't realize they had. Obviously, I guess they have a baseball team, but I didn't.
Well, I mean, if
it
you
was
said
not a thought that crossed my mind,
you said I'll give you $1,000 to name one baseball player who played at St. John's
ever.
I couldn't do it.
Yeah,
now,
that would be me losing $1,000.
Now I'm curious. Okay, so we're gonna have to
best well, baseball player out of
St. John's.
I gotta
know. Yeah, St. John's MLB alum. John Franco, former Cincinnati Reds reliever.
Interesting.
I remember him. He's one of the all-time saves leaders. Frank Viola, former Cy Young Award winner for the Twins. That's good. Connor Jove plays currently, doesn't he? I think that's correct. I don't know.
Well, we have three. So.
Yeah, that'll work. That's plenty.
Yeah.
Congrats to St. John's. They have a fine program. I want to talk more about Mississippi State. And specifically, I want to talk about Dakota Jordan. And Hunter Hines, who were just going through a miserable slump right this second. On Wednesday night, I'm talking to Wes Ray, former MSU Diamond Dog, former first baseman. I want to get a player's thoughts on how you break out of a slump. But until then, you and I are going to have to figure it out.
Yeah, unfortunately, I've never played baseball.
Neither
so
I
can't contribute in
I've
that
I've never
fashion.
Played a pitch of organized baseball.
No.
It wasn't for me. But, I see those guys, and I can see the frustration from where I am.
Mm-hmm.
You are much closer to the action down there in the camera well. When you see those guys, when they're leaving the plate, and in Jordan's case, Grace, it feels a lot like before he even gets to the plate, he's already kind of two strikes down in some ways. What's the body language that you're getting from those guys?
They very much wear it kind of on their face, their body language, especially DJ. You can see the frustration in his face. When he leaves the plate, he walks back into the dugout, puts his helmet in the little box, and then he kind of just sits down on the bench there, and I feel like just stares blankly into space sometimes, and you feel for him.
Mm-hmm.
It's so hard. I mean, baseball is so mental, too, at that point when you're that far down in that slump. It just feels like you can't get out of it, and I can see it visually with him that you feel like there's so much weighing on him, and it feels like he can't get out of it. And like you said, yeah, it feels like he's almost two strikes down when he gets to the plate. And you can see it on his face, too, when he is down 0-2 in the count, that he's, like, already kind of mentally struck out.
Yeah. One of the things that I find interesting, and maybe that may not be the right word because it's a little morbid, but you have a guy like Dakota Jordan, right,
yeah.
Who's been an outstanding baseball player his entire life, right? Whenever he picked up a bat to today, the guy has been on a path to become a first-round MLB draft pick. So this might be the first time in his career, you know, junior high school into today, where he's ever had an issue like this. And, you know, the only way to correct problems is to maybe have had those problems before. It's difficult when
right.
you have any kind of problem if you don't have any knowledge of it. And that I worry about because I feel with Hines has gone through some ups and downs here at State.
I mean, he already changed his walk-up song once this season when he was going through a slump. So I kind of think maybe should he change it back?
He should go back to that one he had last year.
Yeah, it's, I think the one he started the season with, and then he changed
it. Well, he started with like a rock song, didn't he?
Yeah, maybe. I think it was Rockstar.
Yes, I think you're correct. Yeah.
And then, oh, he did have a different one last year. I forget what it was.
He had a different country song last year. My country knowledge is kind of limited, especially new country. I just don't know it.
But after he changed it mid-season, then the whole Vandy series happened for him. So I'm a little superstitious. I know that baseball players are superstitious. Maybe that's what it would take
for him. I'm not superstitious. I'm just a little stitious.
Yeah, I love The Office.
The Vandy series is interesting for Hines because coming out of that and then going into that first couple of Alabama games, he was maybe the hottest hitter in the country.
No one wanted to pitch to him.
People were pitching around. They're pitching to Dakota Jordan to avoid Hines.
Right.
And then it just kind of fell apart. I think Stefan Krajnik of the Clarion Ledger, isn't that his name? What's that Clarion Ledger guy's name?
Krajnik?
Is that him?
Yeah.
I can never keep him. He's from Croatia, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
he won't kill me for saying that.
I said it.
Yeah. Well, I agreed.
You just agreed. It's fine.
Please, you're from Serbia. Please, I don't want to get in trouble.
But, and now I've lost my train of thought. With Hines, it really feels like, for whatever reason, Stefan reported that his last hit was, the Saturday of the Alabama game. And
his last hit, I think, was in Missouri.
He had a home run against Missouri, right? And that's it. That's the only hit in that entire time frame.
Right.
And, you know, they've moved him down in the order. It feels like they've done some things to try to get him going, and for whatever reason, it's not working. I guess the big picture question is this. Is there State was able to beat Ole Miss and Texas A&M. They lose to Vanderbilt and Tennessee last week. Both those were one-run games. Even without Jordan, I mean, Jordan had the two RBI single against Tennessee. But even without those two guys contributing, they were playing elite competition, and they were in every game. They won two of them. Can they win this regional if the slump just continues? If Jordan and Hines don't contribute this weekend, can State advance?
I think so.
Oh?
Maybe that's just me being optimistic, but
that's not how we do things on the podcast, Grace.
Yeah, I know.
Did anybody tell you how before you got here?
Yeah, I'm different mindset here, but, I mean, you've seen it. Where they've been in so many one-run games and been on the wrong side of a lot of them. Mm-hmm. But even when they were struggling, so many other guys in the lineup have stepped up. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's sometimes a surprise when somebody else new steps up, like Joe Powell last week, seeing him with a three-home-run game, like, I guess that was 2 weeks ago now. Mm-hmm. But State has the capacity to have anyone sort of step up to the challenge. Mm-hmm. So I think if, obviously, you really want DJ and Hunter to be able to hit like they've hit.
Right.
But I think that on that stage, these other guys are going to want to step up, too, if they can't do it.
It feels like State's just an incomplete puzzle all year. Like
they don't have everything.
They've never had all
once.
The pieces. Yeah, these past couple weeks, their pitching has been outstanding.
Phenomenal.
And as you mentioned, Connor Hizak, we all know, but Imani Larry had a great SEC tournament.
Right.
You mentioned Joe Powell. Mershon obviously has been very consistent this year, maybe State's most consistent hitter.
Definitely.
If you could ever get all the pieces working together, if you get the pitching and those other guys stepping up and Jordan and Hines doing what you know they can do, suddenly you have a team that you could say could go far, could go into Omaha, could give them a chance to maybe win another national title, but they've just been so inconsistent this year. Do you think, it's tough to start being consistent all of a sudden in the postseason when the level of competition goes up. Is there a way that you think State could do that, though, that they could find a way that, hey, now we've got everything going in the right direction?
I think if one thing is going to push them to do that, it's going to be this chip on their shoulder that they didn't host.
Okay. And so you buy into that. We talked about that yesterday on Sports Talk Mississippi, that I just never like to buy into the idea that there's – I feel like winning should be motivation enough.
Oh, it definitely is motivation, but you're probably frustrated. You don't get to do it in front of your home fans. Mm-hmm. You don't get to do it at your stadium. Those guys all probably left that Missouri series thinking, you know, we'll get to play here again maybe, and mm-hmm. that was taken away from them after – they were told, you know, just win a game in Hoover, win two games in Hoover, and it didn't end up mattering in the end. So I think that they're definitely going to be playing with that motivation. They also probably want another shot at Arkansas.
There is that, too. And that's something I've been thinking about a lot. And you know, we had Kendall Rogers on Sports Talk, and he said he had State going to Omaha. And I asked him, I was like, that means they have to go through Arkansas. And it was more about Arkansas for him. He just doesn't believe in them, I think, as a team that can get enough runs. And I see where he's coming from in
that's
that.
Fair.
I look at the other side. Again, we'll go pessimistic, I guess. But Arkansas has just been state's kryptonite under
right.
Lemonis. Lemonis, I think, has beaten them twice in 15 games.
I think that's correct. Yeah.
I mean, if I'm doing the math right, 19, 21, 20. Yeah, I'm doing the math right. I mean, even the 21 team that won the national title got swept by Arkansas here in Starkville. So I don't know if I'm willing to put them there, to put them in Omaha, but I definitely think they can get to Fayetteville.
Yeah.
That's not a question for me. Who's more likely to snap out of this, in your opinion? Do you feel like – I feel like it's Hines, and I'll tell you why. I feel like Hines with two things. One, he's just a power hitter, right? He's going to run into one and country strong that thing over the fence at some point.
Going to hit it to D.C. or something.
Right. Whereas with Jordan being more of the overall talent, I feel like he's way deeper in his head mm-hmm. than Hines. Hines is just up there, not trying to disparage him or anything, but he's like C-ball, hit-ball.
Yeah.
And I think feel like Jordan is trying to like, okay, now he's in his brain thinking, what's the pitch, and I think it's going to be this. And when it's not that, it's throwing him off. And when it is that and he can't catch up to it, that's throwing him off worse. I feel like Jordan, again, we go back to the body language, I feel like Jordan's is worse than Hines.
Definitely. And on the positive side of that, too, I forgot to share that I wasn't at that Tennessee game when he had that two RBI single, but mm-hmm. Cam was, and I was watching his highlights, and he immediately, after the run score, immediately pans to DJ, who's standing right in front of him because he's right there on that first baseline.
Right.
And I swear he celebrated that more than I've seen him celebrate some doubles. Like, he celebrated that the same way I saw him celebrate a triple, like a home run. Like, just how we talk about his body language being bad when he strikes out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was so incredibly pumped, positive right. when it did go
it's
his
relief.
Way.
It's relief.
Yes.
More than
the emotion. He just wears his emotion completely.
Which is great when you're winning.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be interesting to see, can he shake out of this? I will go back in time a little bit. And you weren't here in 2019 when Jake Mangum, going into the postseason, was on a slump.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a couple of hits against, I believe, Miami in that regional here in Starkville. And he got going again. So there's precedent for that. I mean, Mangum, obviously, nobody with more hits in SEC history than that guy. So everybody goes through a slump. I'm interested to see. And we were supposed to have Chris Lemonis on with us on Monday, and I wanted to ask him about, you know, how do you coach out of a slump?
Yeah.
Because that feels like something that it's got to be like on a razor's edge, right? If you say the wrong thing, you might send them further into a spiral. If you show them something and it's like, see, this is where you messed up, it might be like, how did I mess up? Like, and it could get worse. It feels like it's a very fine line for what Lemonis and Gautreau have to walk there. For me, like I said, I think Hines, I could see Hines breaking out of it a little bit this weekend. Jordan, I that's where my concern is, because right. I don't know how far State can go with that. That's your superstar.
Yeah, you I know? Mean, it was crazy because on the broadcasts in Hoover, they would be like, whatever about his slump, say all the stats, and be like, and he just won the Ferris Trophy,
yeah.
blah, 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 blah.
And second team All-SEC.
And the juxtaposition between yeah. all of that is crazy.
Well, I mean, you look at a guy, you're talking about a guy who's in this kind of slump, and his batting average is still .330.
Yeah.
I mean, he
barely put a dent in it.
He's still having, by all accounts, a great season.
Yeah.
But it's when you look closer, when you look within the numbers, you know, he hasn't been as good. I look at Hizak and what he's done these past couple of games, and obviously we saw the SEC tournament he had. There's no way you can convince me that had he been available for Arkansas and for Missouri, that State doesn't pick up a couple more wins.
I know, isn't that
And
tough?
They're probably hosting.
Yeah.
Because I think, I mean, he definitely would have gotten them a couple of hits against Arkansas and probably won at least one of those two games they had a chance. And then if he had been there on Saturday against Missouri, I don't know that he wouldn't have had a couple of hits in that one as well and might have made a difference for Mississippi State. It's a tough, tough, what's the word I'm looking for, situation,
mm-hmm.
because I don't know that I've ever seen it where both guys were like this. You know, sometimes you have a couple of superstars, right? And one guy's struggling, but the other guy's picking everybody up, and then maybe it changes. When they're both struggling, I don't yeah. know that you see that very often. And then on top of that, I definitely don't see it where, as we mentioned, you still got a couple of wins, and you were in the other two games. So they could have easily won against Vanderbilt. They could have easily won against Tennessee. The other thing that gets me, Grace, is that, and Robbie and I talked about this, it's uncanny how many times these guys are coming up to the plate when the bases are loaded or where there's two guys in scoring, they keep getting great opportunities. They're never coming up. They're never leading off the inning. It's always, all right, second and third, two out here. Here comes Jordan.
And it seems like those situations, too, the higher pressure the situation, the worse it is for them. They immediately are swinging, like down in the count. And I just feel for them, too, because being put in that high pressure of a situation when you're already that down bad is just like adding fuel to the fire.
I was talking to somebody about Jordan, and they were like, you know, do they pitch around him in these situations? I was like, no, they're not pitching around him at all.
Why would you?
They're pitching at him.
Yeah.
They're like, here's my fastball. Catch up to it. And he's not. And that's got to be the most frustrating thing overall. If he's striking out on junk, you know, that's one thing. But when they're throwing it 95 right over the heart of the plate and daring you to hit it and you can't do it, that's got to be miserable for a power hitter.
I'm sure.
So those two guys have got to get things going for Mississippi State. I think you and I both agree they can. And I think we both agree that the odds are probably in their favor. I mean, one thing I always talk about on the show is, you know, statistics, they regress, right? They go up, they go down, but they're statistics for a reason. It's an average. It's called batting average. So if you go, if you're Jordan, if you're Hines, and you go 20-some-odd at-bats without a hit, statistically, mathematically,
it's coming.
It's got to be coming at some point. And if that's the case, then we could see them both explode this weekend. Then you're just, then you have, we get to have a whole week of, why didn't State host? They're clearly one of the best teams in the country.
They got this vicious cycle.
Yeah.
You think about it, too, from Virginia's perspective or St. John's perspective, when they're scouting these guys, they're not looking at the fact that they're in a slump. They're like, these two dudes are dangerous. You look at their numbers, their home runs, their batting average, they are worried about these guys, but you know, from our perspective, it's like, oh my gosh, are they going to get going? So
that's a good point. That for Virginia, or especially St. John's, because that's who they're playing first, they're looking at the scouting report and they've got these guys circled,
right?
They're like, don't make a mistake, it'll go the other way, it'll be out of the ballpark. And then you see us and we're just like, are they gonna hit?
You know, that's the pessimism.
Well, it's not even pessimism.
No, it's realism.
It's realistic at this point. Yeah,
but it's just the two perspectives of it is like, you know, right now you'd say Imani Larry's playing better than Dakota, but I'm sure they're not nearly as worried about Imani as they are Dakota. But that's, I guess, how dangerous this lineup is, that, you know, anyone can come up and make a play.
This lineup is, and it goes back to what we were talking about earlier, that they've never, if you got the best version of Bryce Chance, Mershon, Jordan, Hines, Hizak, Larry, Powell, Kohler, and then I guess, who am I leaving out? Pulliam? Or whoever, you know, wherever they want to go with that. That is a killer lineup when they're all playing their best. You just have there has not been one game this season where I would say they were just humming. Maybe the Saturday game against Arkansas where they won was really good. The Friday night game at Ole Miss was good top to bottom.
Great.
I mean, that was a good one. The Saturday game at Florida might have been one, but it's just been. And in these three-game series, they're never putting together two of their best games. Even when they win two games, even they won series, they haven't really been completely dominant the whole series. The Auburn series, the only one they swept this year.
That came down to the bottom of the ninth.
Yeah, the second game on Sunday, Auburn was in control almost the whole way, and then they just made a couple of mistakes, and State took full advantage.
Connor Hizak, of course.
Yes, of course. There you go. And Logan Kohler had a big game in that game. So I'm excited because I think this team has a lot of untapped potential, and that's weird to say about a team in this part of the season. Normally, you know, we would have tapped it by now. But I'm also, I guess cautious would be the right word, because I've seen this team lose games that they have absolutely no business losing. Right. And that's why they're not hosting today.
Mm-hmm.
And if the team shows up to play Central Arkansas. This is going to be a quick trip for Mississippi State. They'll be back sometime Saturday afternoon. But if the team that shows up in the wins that we've talked about shows up, we will be sitting here next week, and maybe you get to go to Fayetteville.
Maybe. I would love to.
Yeah. They should send you.
Yeah, and I agree. I have a friend who covers Arkansas, so I can go stay with him.
Yeah.
He went to IU, a fellow Hoosier.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. Hoosiers everywhere.
Most of this baseball staff is from Indiana.
Well, and then most of this beat is from Indiana.
Yeah.
We talked
yesterday.
Two
of us.
We talked yesterday. It was Luke Johnson, who hosts the Eagle Hour. And he was talking about Indiana. I was like, if you need anybody to preview Indiana baseball, I got like six names I can give
well,
you.
Well, yeah, I'm a little rusty on Indiana baseball, but I will say.
I bet you could get through it.
Southern Miss is going to be rough on them.
Yeah, I think if USM was going anywhere other than Tennessee.
I feel so bad for USM.
Like, they're hot right now.
Yeah.
And if they were going to Kentucky or North Carolina, right. I would tell you that they have a great chance. It's just against Tennessee. It's going to be tough, but Tennessee has the number one curse. So.
Yeah. I miss when Nate Dome was still starting pitching, because I could say like two-thirds of the starting pitchers were all from Indiana.
Yeah, but none of them went to Indiana.
Oh, no, they didn't. Ball State and Purdue. But, you know, Nate Dome and I grew up probably like 20 minutes away from each other.
Yeah? I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's from Zionsville, which is a suburb of Indy. Mm-hmm. Not nearly as close to where Cal grew up. Cal was like farmland, Indiana.
Okay.
But
like Hickory?
No, I don't think Hickory actually exists.
No, I know it doesn't, but I'm just saying, like, that area.
Yeah,
of the
it was by West Lafayette.
Okay.
So that's why he's a Purdue guy.
I don't know my way around Indiana.
No, it's fine.
Never
I'll
been
give
to
you.
The fine state of Indiana.
I mean, I wish that Terre Haute would have been a regional. We could have gone there instead.
If State had gone to Terre Haute, I would already have penciled State into the super regionals.
Yeah.
I don't think Indiana.
That's
State.
Another team. I mean,
they got screwed, though. They're
they did
Kentucky.
Get screwed. RPI 10, and you're not hosting.
There's a group of two seeds. I'll tell you what, we'll come back to the discussion. Let's do the ad break here. That's brought to you by our friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council. Grace loves steak.
I do.
I love steak. What's not to like about steak? So, this weekend, if you're watching the Bulldogs, if you're watching NCAA baseball, you're firing up the grill, nothing beats the sizzle of beef. I was at the grocery store today, where they had chuck roast on sale. I thought about that. I thought about some barbecue beef, some pulled beef this weekend. I couldn't quite pull the trigger on that
idea. There's not enough people in Starkville for you to share it with.
Well, no, but there is my family, and
yeah,
we can just eat it ourselves.
I could come over.
If you want to come eat barbecue beef or something, well, now you got me thinking about it.
I'm sorry, you got to go back and get it now.
Well, I mean, it's Wednesday. I got time.
Yeah.
I got time until Saturday, so.
Go get some.
I might have to do that. Beef, it's what's for dinner, thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Another restaurant that Grace likes to eat at is Two Brothers.
Oh, yes.
She's a big fan, but well, let's talk about Two Brothers first. We love Two Brothers. What is your go-to at Two Brothers?
Pulled pork, usually.
The grilled cheese?
I don't know if I've had the grilled cheese.
You haven't had the pulled pork grilled cheese?
No, I probably need to go try that.
Yeah, you do need to try that.
Yeah.
I'm gonna get you that next time we'll go. But you need to go check out the newest restaurant in town, the Older Brother. Have you heard about this now?
Yes, I saw your tweets, and okay. I really want to try it.
It is some... I don't know how sandwiches get to be fancy, but they have fancy sandwiches. And it works, man. That's a good place to eat. So, if you're in Starkville, if you want great barbecue, Two Brothers. It's not just barbecue, but it is great barbecue. But if you want to try something different, a sandwich that you probably haven't had here in Starkville or maybe anywhere, you want to go check out the Older Brother. Two great restaurants over there in the Cotton District. I definitely recommend you making a trip to both of them the next time you are in Starkville. Great products, great service is what every business likes to promise you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. The Advantage Business Systems ad is less interactive. I just kind of, what do we know about copying machines, you know?
I don't know a whole lot, but I find them useful in my daily life.
They are useful, yes.
Yeah.
No question about it. Well, if one ever goes south for you at WCBI.
That happens sometimes.
You call Advantage Business Systems. They'll get you a great new copier at a great price. But most importantly, when it messes up again, you can just call them back. You don't have to call the 1-800 number and be on hold for 45 minutes.
That's nice.
And then you talk about, you know, okay, we're going to get you in touch with this guy. He lives in Kentucky, and he'll be there in a week to 10 days. That's a week to 10 days. You don't have any copies.
Yeah.
Advantage Business Systems is in Mississippi. They can be there the same day a lot of times. So we did it, Grace. We made this ad interactive. I had never done that before. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I mean, I use a copy machine every day at work.
We have a laptop.
Same thing.
And your business issues you a laptop. If it goes bad, you know, what happens? How long will it take for you to get that fixed?
Man, a while.
Exactly. Advantage Business Systems, a couple days. You know, we can't live without those things. So you need to give them a call. 601-362-9192 or visit them online at absms.com. I don't know what happened. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Maroon & Co., if you're going to be in Starkville and you need Mississippi State gear, Maroon & Co. is the place to go. They have a selection unlike anybody else. Stuff you cannot get anywhere else. And they have the logos that you want. The state script, the interlocking, the M over S. It's all right there. They have the Bulldog Initiative gear that you cannot get anywhere else. They are the exclusive provider of that. Father's Day is almost upon us. If you haven't gotten Dad something yet, Maroon & Co. would be a great place to do it. Before you go to the game this fall, go to Maroon & Co. Your dad, what are you getting him for Father's Day? I know he's not listening, so you can just tell us.
I don't know. I was thinking about, look, Purdue making the Final Four was terrible for me personally, but my dad is a Purdue grad, so I'm like, this is...
That is so weird, by the way, to me. Like, if my daughters became Ole Miss fans, I would disown them.
Me and my sister both went to IU. My mom went to IU.
Your mom went there.
But my parents are divorced, and then my dad remarried an IU grad. So
he's just a glutton for punishment.
He's used to it.
Yeah.
My sister goes to IU and actually stayed a Purdue fan, which is really horrendous in my opinion. Like, she will wear...
I am not a fan of that.
...Purdue stuff to Assembly Hall. But anyways, I think that, you know, it's terrible that they made it that far, personally, but... You know, a lot of gifts that I could give throughout the year with just milking the Final Four merch.
Is Zach Edey doing cameos yet?
Oh my gosh, I don't know. I don't even know if my dad would want that.
Doesn't like Zach Edey?
He does like him, but I feel like he'd be like, okay, thanks.
Cameos are like, some friends of mine sent me one once. I've gotten a couple. One was like a genuine like, hey, you're a good guy. And we love you kind of cameo from my friends. I know, which is weird. My friends and I are the most vicious people on earth. You know how it is. You know what I'm talking about, Grace?
Yes, I do.
But at the same time, we have sent some where we're just like, hey, can you please make fun of these people? And here's what you should say about them. And those are fun to do, too. So I feel like cameo is very very underrated gift. I think it's a gift that you're like, you say it out loud and you're like, okay. But then when you get one... And you're like, one of your favorite celebrities is saying your name and talking good about you.
That's nice.
It's cool.
Yeah.
So that's where I would go.
Interesting. Maybe I'll see if Edie's on there.
Yeah. Or Matt Painter.
Oh my gosh, my dad would kill for Matt Painter. My dad loves Matt
Painter.
Does
he? Big Matt Painter guy.
They went to college around the same time, so.
Ah, okay.
I feel like I would say Breeze,
but I bet Breeze is probably like $1,000 or something.
Oh my gosh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Eli's also obsessed with Drew.
Is he?
He loves Drew Breeze.
Does he know what I have in my living room?
Probably not, but my dad was at that Super Bowl.
Was he?
Yeah, because, you know, he's a Colts fan, right?
Oh, so that had to be horrible for him. Well, his favorite player, but his favorite team.
It was tough because obviously he wanted the Colts to win, but he was like, if there's anybody that's going to beat us, at least it's Drew Brees.
I'm going to take a picture of I have that autograph.
Oh, yeah, I've seen it.
And it says to Brian.
Yeah.
So that's my pride and joy.
I feel like he might have an autograph Drew Brees something in the
basement. But does it say your dad's name is Eli, right?
Yeah.
Does it say to Eli?
No, to Eli. Ah-ha. But it's also Purdue stuff, so it's not going to be Saints stuff.
Okay. Well, it's not Saints. It's just a football.
Okay.
So.
You know, same thing.
Yeah, kind of. We need to get your dad for the Christmas party this year.
Yeah.
You need to invite him down.
He would love that.
I would love to have him. Overall, we were talking about the two seeds.
Yeah, dangerous group of two seeds.
Well, and I don't understand where they are. Like, State as the 12 seeds regional, okay, it fits. It makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Southern Miss has no business being at the one seed.
They got screwed.
Indiana State has no business being at the two seed, or at Kentucky. LSU has no business being on the four seed. All of these teams should be on the other side of the bracket. Yeah. If anything, LSU should have probably gone to Greenville.
And Vanderbilt is, what, with Clemson? LSU's...
Vanderbilt is at... Oh, gosh.
They are at Clemson.
I thought they went out west.
No, they're at Clemson because I remember seeing...
I don't have a huge problem
a video of South Carolina, like, reacting to both them getting, you know, into the tournament, but then South Carolina also laughing that Vanderbilt going to Clemson.
So... I don't have
a major issue with that.
Wake Forest is a good two at Greenville. That's fine.
That's also so... Like, East Carolina wanted to host so bad, and it's like, here's your present.
Your present is we're going to give you Wake Forest as a two in your regional.
And then if you make it out
of
that...
You get to go to Knoxville.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's kind of where State was going to be, though.
Yeah.
You know, or at worst, they might have been going to Lexington. But I feel like...
Lexington.
I feel like LSU... Who's the 15? Who's paired with Lexington? I don't have the bracket in front of me.
15. I feel like I've looked at this enough
times. Is that where Arizona is?
No, Arizona was way lower than that, I think, which frustrated me.
All right.
No,
so,
maybe they are.
Okay.
Just be pull it up because I'm trying to.
Well, this is just the.
The
things. It doesn't have the.
I feel like UCSB
bracket.
Was 13. Is Arizona 14?
Okay. Here we go.
Thank you.
So
Oregon State.
What are we looking at for 15? Corvallis is 15.
Yeah, Oregon State.
LSU should be at Corvallis.
Throw in another Louisiana team in Corvallis.
Well, yeah, I would move Tulane at that point or something. But and then Southern Miss.
I think they're sharing a plane out there. I saw that.
Yeah, Southern Miss could easily. Who's the 14 seed? Is that where Arizona is? That's Santa Barbara.
Mm.
I get why they did it, because they're talking about regionality.
Yeah, save
and
money.
So Santa Barbara's regional. Santa Barbara, Fresno, San Diego, and Oregon, right? I get that, but it's just not fair.
No.
You know? You could have sent Southern to Stillwater. You could have sent them to Tucson. It just doesn't make sense.
I like them in Tucson, actually.
Oh, if they were in Tucson, I think they would win. Yeah. We'll play the game with USM of what regionals I think they could win.
Ooh.
They could win in Athens.
Yeah.
You know, Athens, Georgia is really good because they have the best player in the country.
Their pitching's not.
It's suspect, which is weird because their head coach is one of the best pitching coaches in the country. A&M right now is a little sketch. They're a little sketch.
State just beat them.
I think A&M will win that regional. But if USM was there, I wouldn't tell you that they would. I don't think North Carolina's going to win their regional as it is. I think LSU is going to
win. I already have LSU. I filled out a bracket last night. I think I had LSU.
That's good for LSU.
Surely.
A scrappy little bunch.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing good ever happens to LSU. Charlottesville, I mean, I like State to win there, so I would probably like USM too. Clemson probably would beat them.
Yeah.
They would. I think Southern would definitely get out of Corvallis.
Oregon State was one of those teams that I'm like...
Oregon State...
Definitely, they needed another host on the West Coast, but you look at their numbers, and it's like,
I look at Corvallis, and I'm just thinking, when they got eliminated from the Pac-12 tournament, I thought, they're done. They're out. There's no chance they get back in. And then the geography got them a regional. I definitely think Southern would win in Greenville. I don't know if they would win Fayetteville or Knoxville or Lexington. They could beat Kentucky, but I don't know if they would win.
Yeah, I like Kentucky the best out of those three.
They would win at Norman, I think. I think Duke's another one.
Duke is
probably going to win that. They're hot right now.
Duke probably should have hosted
Southern could win at Raleigh. They could beat NC State. They could definitely win Santa Barbara. They could win
Santa Barbara's the weakest regional by far.
Oh, it's nice. I mean, if Santa Barbara doesn't come out of that, then...
Who are they paired with?
They play... who are they paired with? So that's a three College Station.
Oh, that's going to be brutal for them.
Yeah, even those... If A&M can escape their regional, they will go to Omaha.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very fair.
It's not a tough path.
So what's your eight for Omaha, then?
Oh, my gosh, I forget.
Oh, gosh.
I have to pull it up, probably.
Let's just go through them real quick. Surely, you have Tennessee, right?
Yes.
Okay, so Tennessee... the Lexington versus, we just said it, Corvallis. Do you have Kentucky getting out?
I have Kentucky.
Okay. Surely you have A&M getting out against Santa Barbara?
Yes, I have A&M getting out.
Okay. The four seed is North Carolina, but you had LSU coming out of that regional.
Yes.
And they would be playing, who's the 13 seed? Tucson, Arizona. So you have LSU in Omaha?
Yes, because I think I had... Arizona getting upset in their regional, which meant that DBU would go to Baton Rouge, and I was like, "There's no way DBU is."
Now they're not walking out of Baton Rouge. I agree. No,
and that I was like, "Oh my gosh, I hate putting LSU in Omaha right after they just won it all." But then I started thinking about Super.
It's incredible that 5 weeks ago LSU wasn't even going to make the SEC tournament, and then
now look at where we are.
Now they're going back to Omaha.
Okay, I found mine.
Okay, who do you have from the Fayetteville Charlottesville?
Fayetteville Charlottesville. Oh my gosh, this D1
so Arkansas
thing is so
Virginia
confusing.
Mississippi State. Or did you?
I had Mississippi State and Arkansas. When okay, here let me find it. College World Series. I had Arkansas.
I mean, that's fair. I don't have any issue with that. You're not getting any heat from me on that one. The sixth seed is Clemson, and they are paired up with Stillwater. Clemson?
I had Vandy, Oklahoma State.
Wow.
In that super, and I had Oklahoma State winning.
Okay, so and they would host Vandy, obviously. Yeah. So, okay, so Oklahoma State. All right, and then the 7-10 is Georgia versus NC State.
I had NC State winning that.
Really? Okay.
I was very impressed with NC State. I also had a rule where I was like, I need four SEC teams in Omaha because the trend has been four.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. And then the 8-9, Tallahassee and who's the 9?
Well, I had Duke winning that, but...
Oh, yeah, it's Norman. So you have Duke.
Duke, okay. Florida State, and I have Duke getting to Omaha. Wow. I was just trying to be like spicy. I did it without kind of thinking.
I like that though. I like
no
where
brain.
You're at.
Yeah.
For me,
what is yours?
And I haven't really sat down to do it yet. Definitely Tennessee.
Okay.
I'm not totally sold on Kentucky. I think they'll get through.
Yeah.
Mainly because I don't like whoever they play from Corvallis is weak. I don't think Kentucky can win the national title. You have to have some Omaha experience.
I just think their path is kind of too easy to get to Omaha. Not too easy, but like going through Corvallis is not going to be tough if they can make it out of their region.
They can get to Omaha. I don't know that they can win the national title.
No.
Because I really do feel like that's why I like Tennessee. They've taken their lumps the last few years, and now they know what it's going to take to win this. College Station, Texas A&M's going to the College World Series. I definitely think that.
Yeah, no question.
I can't really go against your LSU pick either, and that's much as that.
And that's just one where
makes
you're like,
me physically ill, Grace.
It hurts, but what region are they paired with again? I'm like blanking.
Tucson.
Yeah, that's one where Arizona doesn't probably deserve to host, so they'll probably get upset. And then if they get upset, then LSU will host, and then you're talking about a super in Baton Rouge, and that's just
I'm with you. I'm going to put Arkansas through now. I just State can't beat them for whatever. No. They just can't. I would have Clemson get through as the sixth seed. Am I going all chalk? No, because I didn't, because I took LSU.
How boring would that be if you went all chalk? I'd give you a hard time.
I know you would. The seven seed is, that's Georgia? No. but I don't. South Carolina was playing good baseball at the end of
They are, but oh my goodness, they're pitching.
I can't. This is the worst group here.
Their games take an average of 3.5 hours. Yeah. I swear.
I'm gonna go NC State. I'm with you on that one. I don't like either one of those teams.
Also, I think Gavin Casas just broke his hand.
Oh, okay.
South Carolina. He broke his hand in that last.
And then
game.
I'll actually take Florida State to come out of the 8-9 matchup.
Okay.
Link Jarrett, good coach. Was at Notre Dame, obviously.
Sydney Wicker.
You know, I don't know her. I've never met her.
You never met Sydney Wicker?
Never met her.
Love Sydney. She's down
Everybody
in Tallahassee
talks about
now.
How nice she is, and I never got the chance
I would
to meet
love
her.
For her to get to go to Omaha. So, you know what? Maybe I should change my FSU pick.
But. FSU for Sydney. Very good. Okay, those are our Omaha picks. All right. Robbie should be back on the show tomorrow. Plus, I have an interview. I think I mentioned it with Wes Ray on the live show. I'm going to put that onto the podcast as well, so you guys can catch that. Grace, thank you so much for you got me out of a hole here because I was like, who am I going to do? I did not want to do this show by myself. So.
Well, you didn't want to do it with Robbie in the car.
No, never. Not ever happening.
Because you'd get the peanut gallery.
Yeah, that's all
else.
I would get. Be like, oh hey there, John. Oh hey there, Robbie. Oh hey there, Steph. It'd be the whole time, and I can't deal with that.
I can barely deal with it when I'm in the car.
I've heard that story, so.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Charlotte was a time.
Grace Ibarra, WCBI Sports. Follow her, GN Ibarra.
Yes.
And Ibarra is YBARRA.
Yes, perfect.
Yeah, because if you hear Ibarra, you think, where's the E? It's not there.
No, yeah, it's Spanish, so yeah. Y is a vowel.
Yes. I knew that. I didn't even take Spanish, but I didn't. I did know.
Yeah, it's sometimes a vowel in English, too.
It is, so. All right. Thanks for joining me. Appreciate it. You guys, like I said, Robbie will be back tomorrow. We'll have a little bit more preview, and he'll be in Charlottesville, so he'll have seen the team and can tell us a little bit more about what he's seeing up there as the Bulldogs get ready to start postseason play. For Gracie Barr, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Mississippi Media Production.